You know, we gloss pretty fast back here, but this is a big thing in your life to become the president of a manufacturer of cars. So just a little bit about that. How did you become the president?
Well, as I indicated, I came in as vice president of sales and marketing. And the president, Jose Del Rodeo, was a really fantastic automotive executive. He was one of the most dynamic that I've worked with, and I was close to Lee Iacocca. I've witnessed him, but as far as knowing the manufacturing part of the automotive works, he had great advantage there. Iacocca was better in the marketing area. Ted Wadair, here again, it's circumstances and the way fortune is. He got along extremely well with George Bess. And George Bess liked him so much and thought he was so good, he wanted to bring him back to Paris to put him in charge of Renault sales and marketing worldwide. A big jump into the parent ship. As a result, who were they going to replace him with? And I wasn't aware of any of that. But I got promoted to COO as his number two, and I had that position for a short time. It must have been 8 months or so before they finally then announced that Rodeo was going to leave and go back to Paris. And we were coming out at that time. We were building a new plant in Canada. We were going to produce a new car called the Renault. And we had all these things going on, and the engineering on the car and all of the procurement of parts that went into it, the engineering of it. And this Renault Premier was going to be our star. And it was one that we did the work on. We had some components from Renault, but it was really an American Motors-built, engineered vehicle. So the board, they found out about it. The independent directors, not the Renault directors, the independent directors found out about it. We were going to start to import another car called Renault Medallion. It was kind of an intermediate-sized car. And we went to Brussels, and we were going to visit a plant that was producing this car. So on the way over, they took a plane that had, as those those continental flights, they come into New York City, they turn around, and they go back to Paris. So the plane had French newspapers, and one of our independent directors knew French, and he would read the French newspapers. And in there was an article that said that George Bess is bringing José Del Rodeo back to Paris. And so he went up and down the plane to the other guys and said, "Do you know this?" And nobody, of course, knew it. And they said, he can't do that. We've got all these things going on. We're going to be, a year away from, the plant's not finished, blah, 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 blah. So when they landed, they were in a tizzy. They called a meeting with Del Rodeo, which I attended, and they started in and said, you can't leave now. What can we do? We can give you, we'll make you a full-fledged American Motors employee. We'll give you this. We'll give you that. Pensions, dot, 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 dot. And Ted Rodeo could care less for that. He had this big plum job in Paris, and he said, no, he said, I'm not interested. This job is bigger and more important. Plus, I'll be able to help you. In this position, I can give a lot of help to it. Holy God, oh, God. He said, oh, well, they said, well, who are we going to get to replace you? He turned to me and he said, Joe. Now, the one thing that a board has is a fiduciary responsibility to hire a CEO. This kind of shook them to the core. And they said, well, that's something that's going to have more discussion. And Jose said, well, tonight we're going to have, after we make the plant visit, we're driving to Paris, and we're going to have dinner with George Best, and you can explain, you know, your concerns to him. That evening, we went to a what used to be a hunting chateau. The waiters all wore white gloves, and the service was impeccable, great food. And we were sitting around a little larger than this, of course, a rectangular table. And Jose sat on George Best's left, and he put me on George Best's right. And across from George Best was Roy Chapin Jr., who had been selected. And all during the, when we were going through and looking at the plant and trying to, the little clusters of the AMC independents were getting together and buzzing, you know, about what they were going to do and what they could say and trying to line up how they were going to handle the meeting with Best that evening. And Chapin had been made the, you know, the head spokesperson. That's why he sat across from Best. And then he had the other independent directors going that side. And then on either side of myself and Jose sat some Renault executives. And it was a very lovely dinner. And they came in then with the dessert. And when they finished the dessert, Bess said, I understand you have some thoughts about Jose's replacement. And Roy Chapin said, yes, I've been selected as a spokesperson. And as you know, the board has a fiduciary responsibility to select. And, you know, out of 13 board members, Renault had 5 or 6 at that time. And I know that your directors would vote for what you have asked for, but the rest of us, we believe we need to have some input here. But before we get to that, we'd like to really find out if Jose's coming back is final. You know, can we talk about him staying? And Bess said, no, he's coming back. That's it. So then I said, okay, well, then let's talk about his replacement. And then I was not excused by Bess. I did not leave. You know, if I could, I wanted to stay. And I think Bess knew that by keeping me there, it would temper the conversation about what they thought about me and what they would say openly. And it was a fascinating conversation. There were 3 or 4 of the independent directors who said, look, you know, let's quit screwing around. You know, Jose and Joe have been working together for, you know, 4 years now, and they get along well. If this thing is going to work, you know, if you bring someone in that doesn't get along with Jose, doesn't know Jose, you know, this whole thing is going to crash. And then another one said, you know, came in, you know, Joe has done a fantastic job. I think he should get the job. And then And then they came back again to the, not so much saying that I couldn't do it, but we need to go through the process. You know, we have to, we need to go search. We need to have a search to see if there is somebody better. Not, I wouldn't say better, you know, just somebody that would be a better choice for us at this time. So it finally wound up where Beth said, okay, you go and hire a firm to find a candidate, and you've got 90 days. At the end of 90 days, and we're going to have, Renault will have its vote as to whether that candidate is acceptable or not to us. If it's not, it ain't going to work. And but either way, in 90 days, Joe is going to be the president. The next morning, when we were boarding a plane to come back, I said to Roy Chapin, could I have a meeting with you and Jose tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock in Jose's office? And he said yes. So we met in Jose's office, and I said to Mr. Chapin, I said, Roy, I said, I understand, you know, the responsibility that you have, and I can understand wanting to make sure you get somebody really top flight. And there are a number of extremely outstanding automotive executives that I know that I would have no problem working for. However, if you bring in somebody that I think is inferior to myself, then I want you to know I'm going to find something else. He said, fine. Within a week, I started getting phone calls from executives from Ford, Chrysler, General Motors, saying, what's happening there? And I didn't try to gloss it or change it. I just said, here's what's happened. And virtually to a man, they all said, oh, God, I don't know why I got mixed up in that mess. So about a month later, I got a call from Roy Chapin. He said, Joe, congratulations. We're disbanding the search. You're our president.
And how old would you have been?
Let's see, probably 54, 53, 54.
And we're talking in 1980?
Yeah, 1986. Well, actually, it might have been the end of 85, but beginning of 86.
Well, congratulations, Joe. You became president of a major car company.
That's right. That is.
You never thought you'd be there.
No, absolutely not. It's and as you said, it, you know, it happened, and you know, timing and everything. You know, the fact that if Bess wasn't there, it wouldn't have happened. You see,